I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Well, it's all.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we have got a great show today. We have Trina McDonald with us in the booth for an interview about her and her mental health service dog, Susie. Before we get started with that interview, though, want to first let you know that the Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. If you're looking for the perfect gift for your pet-loving family member or friend, check out Invisible Fence Northwest. They have really great indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats, as well as an online store. The website is InvisibleFenceNW.com. Quick announcement, Joanne S., you won a signed Seahawks hat a while back, and it got returned to us. So if you would email me, host@dogtalkshow.com, with your correct mailing address, or you can call us right now or during anytime during the show and give us your mailing address. We have the wrong address written down, and it got sent back. Joanne S., you won a signed Seahawks hat during one of the past shows. If you would give us a call or email with your correct mailing address, that'd be great. So we can get that out to you. You can give us a call at 425-373-5527 or toll free 888-298-5569 or again, email at host@dogtalkshow.com. How's it going, Eric?
It's going well. How are you?
Well, it's an exciting show today because we're videotaping.
Yes, and luckily, though, people don't have to see my
Oh, we're going to have to get you in, Eric. Well, it's an excellent day to take your dog for a walk. We went for
It is. It's one of the nicest days we've had in a while, so
snow's gone. Yeah. Yes. Well, we went for a great walk in the woods this morning, and the dogs are just so full of joy when we're doing that. So
cool. By the way, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was great.
Did the dogs get some turkey?
No, they've gotten some chicken. I don't think they ended up getting any turkey, though. We tried turducken, though, for the first time at a friend's house.
How was that?
It was okay.
Either one would have been probably better than the combined.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. How about you?
It was fantastic.
Good.
I gave the cats some turkey, and they enjoyed it.
Too. Excellent. Yeah. Now, it was Eric's birthday on November 13th, so happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, that was a while ago. It seems like so far in the distant past.
Yeah.
Blocked it out.
Well, we have Trina McDonald here and her mental health service dog, Susie. Welcome to the Dog Talk Show, Trina.
Thanks, Julie.
Trina is a peacetime Gulf War Navy veteran, and Susie is her mental health service dog. Her dog was trained by Healing Allies, and we're going to be talking with you today, Trina, about all sorts of things, your experience in the military, your experience with Susie, and some really awesome projects that you have going for the future as far as getting more veterans paired with service dogs for mental impairments.
Right.
Because the funding for that is not there.
Yeah, it's a little scarce.
Yes. So, Trina, tell us a little bit first about yourself and your experience in the military.
Well, I guess we can start out by saying, you know, I'm originally from Kentucky. I don't want to be too cliche and say I'm a coal miner's daughter, but I am. I know, sad. But basically, I left Kentucky when I was 18 and joined the U.S. Navy in hopes of going to college. And I had given up a college scholarship to go play basketball and to do this instead and, you know, get to see the world. And went into the Navy, went to Florida, went through boot camp and school, and things were really great, fun. And then I went to NSGA ADAC, which is an isolated duty station in the Aleutian Islands, and things changed drastically for me there. Mm-hmm. So basically the experience goes from, you know, being a young country girl to going into the Navy and going to ADAC, Alaska, and during the time I was there, I got there on Valentine's Day of 1988, and within a few months, I was drugged and sexually assaulted. And I was supposed to be there for 18 months, but I stayed there for 9 months, and during that time frame, was repeatedly drugged and sexually assaulted until I blew out my knee, which I think was kind of a godsend in a lot of ways, and got sent back to the lower 48 to California and finished out my duty at PSD Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And so you suffer from PTSD.
I suffer from severe PTSD, and there's a whole bunch of other acronyms that I have disabilities with. Mm-hmm. But that's certainly the post-traumatic stress disorder and depression, severe anxiety, panic attacks, and all which are a direct result of my trauma in the military.
Mm-hmm. And it was military sexual trauma.
Correct.
And I think a lot of people don't even know about this, but a lot mm-hmm. of people think veteran with PTSD, they think of combat,
right.
War-related
sure.
trauma. Is military sexual trauma something that's fairly common?
It's rampant, actually. It's, there's at least 40% of either men or women in the military that have been sexually assaulted. Mm. And either by other men, by other women. But it's just, it's an epidemic right now. And there's a lot more, actually, in the media that's coming out about it. That WOW is an organization that really works a lot with people who have military sexual trauma. And she's actually here in the Northwest. And Susan Avila-Smith, who does tons with people mm-hmm. who've had military sexual trauma.
Did you say 40%?
40%.
Wow. And that's men and women?
Men and women.
Yeah. Wow. So after you came back to the lower 48 states after your knee injury, what was life like for you after your experience in the military?
After I had got out, I finished up my career in down in Oakland, and really got into a lot of actually alcohol use at that time and isolation. I really didn't have a lot of friends. And then I came up to Washington. I had a friend that was stationed at McCord, and I had come up to visit and thought, okay, I can stay here. And really, for years it was a lot of substance abuse, homelessness. I never had a stable house, never had a stable job. Lots of suicidal thoughts, attempts, and really had no idea that there was such a thing as post-traumatic stress disorder or, depression. You grow up in a lot of ways where people just say if you have a hard time, you just kind of get over it. And for me, that wasn't a case because I had such horrible nightmares and, that I just isolated myself constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And, and alcohol and drugs became a huge part of it.
And what sort of support? I mean, you get support from the VA and like programs for people when they come out of service?
Heavy sigh. Well, the thing is what happens is you see a lot of new commercials today about the veterans that are coming back, the service members that are coming back, and come apply for your benefits, and the keyword is apply. Just because they're there, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to receive benefits. That how they perceive it. And that's how I didn't even know. And, it's not something when I was getting out that, when I was being debriefed that they said, hey, go to your nearest VA hospital and get service.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually avoided at all costs. I mean, I had the opportunity to, because I said I injured my knee when I was in the service, and I actually had senior chiefs and military members then that veered me completely away from it because I was going to go to San Diego and get rated then, but instead I got honorably discharged without a rating on my knee, and I had to fight for it 5 years later.
Mm. So you get discharged from the military because of your knee injury.
Right.
And this was in about
1990?
1990. Okay. And then you get into drug and alcohol abuse.
Oh, yeah.
And you said you had, you experienced homelessness, you didn't have a place to live for part of that. And then in 1995, you became sober.
In 95, I got sober for the very first time. And mm-hmm. I was sober for a couple of years and started seeing counseling or seeking counseling. I actually had a partner at the time who pretty much laid a phone book out in front of me and said, you need to do something,
mm-hmm.
Because I was just a mess. Mm-hmm. And And, you know, I had no idea about anniversary dates in regards to trauma. I had no idea about any of those things. But, you know, that I was going through for about 6 to 8 months out of the year where I was just horribly depressed, or, you know, I struggled more with nightmares, or, you know, not being really, not going out into the world and living in something that, you know, this life of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
So once you, after you became sober, what have been some of your symptoms with PTSD? I mean, what is that like for you just in about a minute of time?
A minute of time. Let me wrap this up really quick. My life in a minute. Basically, it was, you know, when I got sober, everything broke. I broke. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, when there wasn't alcohol involved in the picture, all of those symptoms and emotions and things that I had really pushed way down came to the surface. And when they came to the surface, it was a really ugly mess.
Mm-hmm.
And what I started to do was spiral into pushing every single person that had any inkling of caring about me away from me, because I couldn't trust anyone enough. Couldn't trust myself enough for someone to be close to me, because when people were close to me, like the people that were I had served in the military with, when they were close to me, they hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to have that experience with anyone else.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how Trina learned about mental health service dogs, how she found Darcy Bolt and Healing Allies, and Susie, who is here with us in the booth. So when we come back, we will talk about that. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Many dogs love to ride in the car, but boy, they can really do a number on the interior with their nails and teeth. Did you know that you can have the interior vinyl and leather dents and tears repaired rather than having to replace an entire section or door? Color Masters Northwest offers leather, vinyl, and velour restoration with the option of on-site repairs and affordability of saving you from having to order a whole new part. You don't have to wait to replace your entire door or console. Just call Color Masters Northwest and have your dog's unsightly handiwork repaired quickly and affordably. Call 425-681-9355 or visit colormastersnw.com to schedule an appointment today. That's 425-681-9355 or online at colormastersnw.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, it's Vet Sunday with Dr. Bill Burlingame. We'll continue our discussion on energy medicine, and Joe Thompson, the expert on Class 4 lasers and Assisi loops, will also join us again. We'll open phone lines for your animal medical care questions, and oh boy, it's time to break out the jingle cats and dogs and begin our holiday celebration. On Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Don't forget, this is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I used to be a lunatic from the gracious days. I'm so restless night.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. We're back with Trina McDonald and Susie, her mental health service dog. Trina is a peacetime Gulf War Navy veteran. Welcome back, Trina.
Thank you.
So we were talking about your past and your experience in the military and your trauma. And so now let's talk about Susie.
Oh, God.
And Darcy and Healing Allies, which is the company that trained Susie for you. And that's HEELING allies.com, if you'd like to look at that website. So, well, actually, Trina, we have a caller on the line who would like to, sounds like would like to compliment you. So let's bring Susan on the line. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Thanks for calling in. You have something to say to Trina?
Yes, Trina, I am so in admiration of your courage and how brave you are, and to be able to come and talk about the experience and be so truthful and honest with us and yourself. And I know it's going to help so many people, veterans, non-veterans, to really start to understand the complications of post-traumatic stress disorder. But I basically just wanted to call to just congratulate you and tell you how much I admire you.
Oh, thank you, Susan. I really have no words.
Welcome.
I have no words. Thanks.
Thanks.
Julie, it's a great show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
If anyone else would like to call in, you're welcome to 425-373-5527 or toll-free 888-298-5569. So at what point, Trina, did you learn about a fairly new thing, which is a service dog for somebody with a mental disability?
You know, actually, when I started seeking healthcare at the VA, especially in 98, I actually ended up in the psychiatric ward because I had just, things had really just fallen apart for me. And I had a few pets at the time. I had a dog and two cats, and I had just received so much benefit from them. And so I talked to my counselors at the VA hospital here in Seattle about it. And so they basically had written me a letter because they were just therapy animals at the time. And so I started doing some research then, and at the time it was just like, I'm just trying to hang on to myself. Mm-hmm. And later on, just in the past few years, I had kind of revisited it. And last year, I took a medical leave from work. Prior to this, I've been a counselor for the past 6 years for substance abuse, mm-hmm. ironically. Mm-hmm. My PTSD symptoms had really just gone out the door. Mm-hmm. And I checked everywhere from, Florida all the way over here to the West Coast. And I couldn't get any services, really. A lot of it was I didn't meet the criteria because I wasn't a combat veteran. I was a Gulf War veteran. I was, kind of the forgotten war.
And is this, you mean you couldn't find services within the VA?
I couldn't find services within the VA. And that's a whole other story, really. Even with organizations that I checked on about getting services to get a service dog for my mental health stuff, every single person, either I didn't get a call back or I didn't, meet their criteria because I have all my limbs or, they really just weren't addressing, post-traumatic stress disorder as being this severe disability that affected people's lives. If you had it for any other reason other than combat, and they're still battling with trying to get services for people who have combat PTSD mm-hmm. and service dogs.
And the thing, too, that is that people who don't maybe know a lot about PTSD is that it's debilitating. I mean, this
Absolutely.
Is, not just a hard for you, but actually debilitating to many people where they won't leave their house.
That is my story. I wouldn't leave the house. I still to this day, I struggle with feeding myself. I struggle with bathing, the hygiene aspect of it, going out into public. I was able to go from point A to point B, and that was in a pure panic, because I considered if I could just get into life and work, and then I was going to be okay. If I could just go to school and get an education, I was going to be okay. And all of those instances, I put up this front that everything was fine, and then I would go home and I wouldn't leave. mm-hmm. you know, or I would have to take enough medication to go to sleep if I could sleep. Most of the time with my brain, the way that it works, it would just force itself through the medication. I would be up for days or couldn't sleep at night, or I would have horrible nightmares or flashbacks. When I first got sober, I didn't leave the house for 3 months because I had flashbacks. Well, you know, and it's so, I mean, it's not something that you go, oh, they just have some problems.
Right.
I mean, it's get over it. And you know, every era of, you know, veteran you meet, we all cope with things different. And it's a great, you know, tribute to, you know, just the changing times and how, you know, people are kind of, you know, put into wartime situations and, mm-hmm. you know, and just what people don't realize, there's a war going on inside the military against the people that you're with. And that's not to say that every, you know, man in the military is horrible, because they're not. You know, is every woman horrible? No, they're not. And what it does mean is there's this entity that's happening inside the armed services, where people are getting injured by their own people and they're getting sexually assaulted and it's being covered up.
Mm. So then you found Healing Allies.
And then I found Healing Allies.
Which happened to be local.
That worked out well for me.
Yeah.
Actually, I had, you know, like I said, I'd called everywhere, and I called Darcy and I'd left a voicemail, and I think I actually may have emailed her too, because I think I was in a panic at that point. And she called me back, and we spoke for, gosh, probably a good hour and a half. And it was the first time in the beginning of this whole process that I was like, oh God, somebody heard me and they understand what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and with that happening, you know, we started talking about what my needs were, and I told her about, my doctor was in absolute support of it. And, I, you know, I'm in the process of getting my bachelor's degree, and, I had, a caseworker at the Veterans Administration, and, through their voc rehab, and, you know, so it was like, yeah, let's start this process, and we're on board. And so I started the process of applying for a service dog, and what ended up happening was they had, you know, went through months of getting letters from the doctor and, you know, meeting with Darcy and setting her up as a vendor, and then that was all, you know, yay, you're approved, you know, via the VRNE and at the VA, and then said, no, you're not. But Darcy didn't give up on me, and I didn't give up on her. And we, you know, she just continued to work with me, and we just weren't going to quit, because she saw the importance of what I wanted to do, because I wanted to be a part of life. And as scary as that is for me, it was like, I'm willing to take the chance to be out there, because, you know, living inside your home and feeling like you're a productive member of society isn't like that exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, I'm trying not to look at Susie, you know, she sleeps diligently on the floor. But she, you know, found Susie and started evaluating her. And, you know, I would come up and I would meet with Darcy, and it was just like, okay, this is, what a great person. And that is understanding of what's happening with my mental health stuff, and was going to just, I think, end for the long haul, because there was so many ups and downs with the funding process, and which still hasn't happened. So did a couple of fundraisers from the beginning. And actually my mother-in-law took out a loan and, you know, really was on board as trying to help see me be better.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
So yeah. You applied for funding for a service dog.
Correct.
And the VA first said that you were approved and all was great, and mm-hmm. then just pulled the rug out at the last minute.
Yeah.
But was it because it was a mental health service dog, or a service dog in general, or what's.
Well, there was two different reasons. The first time that when they initially denied me, they gave me a cut and paste version of the emails that had transpired inside their department, and then, you know, said that it was basically, after doing a congressional inquiry, came back saying that the reason that they denied me was because there wasn't enough supporting evidence stating that service dogs benefited people with mental health, you know, stuff.
Using science as the excuse, huh? Well, we have Sharon on line one, who would like to talk to Trina. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Trina.
Yes.
I just wanted to tell you thank you for speaking so eloquently. You're telling my story, too. I'm from another era, same story, and you're telling the truth very well.
Oh, that's good.
I just want to give you all the power and help that I can. You're speaking for those of us who can't speak yet. So, blessings to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon.
I'll do what I can.
Yeah. So, again, if anyone else would like to call in, you're welcome to. The number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So they said there wasn't enough evidence, scientific evidence, to support that a service dog would help mitigate symptoms for somebody with a mental impairment.
That's correct. Okay. So.
But you didn't stop, and no. Neither did Darcy, and you held some fundraisers on your own,
right,
to help raise money for the service dog,
right.
And now you. How long have you and Susie?
Since October 1st.
Great. And now, I've heard a lot of people in talking about service dogs just say, can't you just go to a shelter? And I'll ask this question. We'll go to a break and then we'll come back and pick this up where we left off. But can't you just go to a shelter and get a dog to help you and train it yourself?
Well, we'll
answer that question when we come back from break. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. In my room at night, desire to spend, desire.
Looking for the perfect collar for your dog or cat, but all the stores have all the same selection? Can't find just the right bed to fit your home and your pet? Is your pup feeling chilly and wanting a coat to keep warm? Bido and Scratch is Seattle's perfectly balanced pet supply store, carrying everything you need to furnish and feed your cat or dog. They are located in Seattle's Mount Baker neighborhood, just around the corner from the new Mount Baker Light Rail Station on McClellan. Visit Fido and Scratch on December 4th and 5th. They'll be hosting professional holiday pet portraits and pet food drive. For more information, contact the store at 206-588-2111 or friend Fido and Scratch on Facebook.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Hi, I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays at 3 p.m. As a medium, I talk with your companions live on air to find the answers to the questions you want to ask. Call in and ask about health, behavior, transitions in life, or anything else. Even talk with animals who have crossed over. Animals have wonderful things to say. Join us for a fun-filled and inspiring hour Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Talk With Your Animals with Joy Turner, the show you and your animal companions are going to love.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
This is Kim Arellano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Bringing you fresh perspectives every day. Alternative Talk 1150 a.m.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are back with Trina McDonald and her mental health service dog, Susie, who is sleeping quietly on the floor right now.
She's working hard.
Trina is a peacetime Gulf War Navy veteran, and we're talking about her experience with post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of military sexual trauma. And we were just talking about how you found somebody to provide you with a mental health service dog who happened to be local, which mm-hmm. was great because there aren't many at all in the country.
No.
And she found Darcy Bolts and Healing Allies, and that is H-E-E-L-I-N-G allies.com if you'd like to check out that website. And so I had asked a question right before break about, you know, a pretty common question that people ask or suggest, like, can't you just go to a shelter and get a dog to help you and train it yourself? So what are your thoughts about that?
My thoughts about that? I would say if you're capable, yay for you. For me, I in my particular situation, and I certainly don't speak for everyone who has post-traumatic stress, I think for a lot of us, though, it's I had such horrible anxiety and couldn't leave the house. And the idea of, you know, getting a dog that I don't know any history on, and I'm going to go do some public access training, which I had no idea about, or doing, you know, a canine good citizen, or just exposing myself to the world with a dog that, you know, I really have no idea, you know, and I can barely bring my own self out into the world. I can't even, for me, mm-hmm. I can't imagine doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, my biggest gift is with Darcy, who, you know, Susie lived in the home and, you know, had this ongoing, you know, 24/7 exposure to the world. That was something that I was not going to be able to provide to her at all. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even a thought in my brain.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I look at her today, and I mean, it's not that I'm out running around and I'm doing all these millions of things, but I can leave my house today and I can go somewhere by myself and not be escorted by someone else. You know, because, you know, when we did the very first fundraiser, that was one of the things I think that it had hit me so hard because I can't be in large crowds and because of my anxiety, and that feeling. And Susie, you know, came to the fundraiser, and, you know, which was a new experience for her. It was very loud. So we both were sitting outside, and, you know, I walked around the block for the first time by myself in decades and didn't feel like someone was going to hurt me.
Mm.
And that I can't put a weight on what that's done for me. You know, when, you know, there's things that Susie does that I don't know how she does it. She's a great animal, you know, and she's beautiful, and she looks at me sometimes and it's like, okay, you know, or if I'm having my moments, certainly something she's not trained to do. If I'm having a lot of anxiety or something, she'll be just leaned up against me and trying to snap me out of it. And I think that's great. I can't imagine how you train an animal to be innately wonderful, but
yeah,
you know, I don't know how that works, but I know in the situation with her, you know, and Darcy, she just had spent so much time creating, you know, and helping this animal become you know, really kind of fold into her potential to be such a great dog.
Mm-hmm.
And because I don't think that she had been to a shelter twice, actually.
Yeah.
And she's amazing. I just kind of, you know, you kind of want to go back and visit those people and go, hey, I don't know, you know, do you even realize what you had? And but I can't imagine. I've seen a lot of conversation about professional training as opposed to owner training. And I can't imagine doing this by myself.
Well, and it would make sense, especially since the stress and anxiety comes especially when you are out in public. And so if you're training a dog in public access and training a dog to perform certain tasks for you, and also be a stable presence for you. And so if you yourself are having a hard time, you know, even managing yourself, how could somebody? And then the other thing too would be that would, you know, potentially, you know, the dogs would pick up on that and potentially make them nervous.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I just can't, that's just for me.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've talked to a lot of different people and, you know, a lot of people really kind of follow that line of, you know, if I'm struggling with my day to day and trying to go out and just be in the world or go to work or go to school, you know, and just try to stay focused in that and keep my anxiety at a low and, you know, try not to get triggered or, you know, being aware of my surroundings because and that's a part of the symptomology for the PTSD is I'm so hypervigilant, you know, that the littlest thing could create even more anxiety for me or if someone comes up behind me or, you know, any of those kinds of things. I can't imagine trying to take care of an animal and then being out and trying to do the same thing and take care of myself. And, you know, and that's, I think for me, it's been one of the most wonderful benefits of having, you know, Susie, you know, this professionally trained service dog who helps me is I can kind of just focus on a lot of my, what's going on with me in my mental state. And, you know, and Susie can, I know she's there, she's right there. And that's a sense of safety for me that no one's going to come up behind me, mm-hmm. you know, because I can see her, I can see what she's looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an amazing, mm-hmm. you know, thing is that companionship and not companionship is not the word I want to use. We're a team,
yeah.
you know, and I get to see what she's doing and she gets to see what I'm doing. And, you know, and I just think that what she's able to do is great. And I drove up here today from Puyallup, so we're doing good.
Yeah.
So life's good.
Well, and you're going to school and
right.
you've marched in the Veterans Day Parade, which
yeah.
was huge. And
big
you
deal.
And Susie.
Yeah, Susie and I did mm-hmm. the Auburn's Veterans Day Parade, and which was a big deal. I've actually never done a Veterans Parade before. But again, it was in speaking out and standing up for people who don't have the same voice that I, you know, seem to be blessed with right now
mm-hmm.
to speak out against military sexual trauma. And, you know, for every step I took that day, I took a step for another veteran that doesn't have the voice to stand up right now.
Mm.
And, you know, it's certainly, I'm not sitting here going, oh, this is so easy and look at my voice. It's that I'm tired of being a secret and Susie helps me not be a secret,
mm-hmm.
and this whole process is, you know, she was great and has really just, she keeps me present in the world. And that's been a battle,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so we did that and, you know, and with at school, she's becoming her own spokesperson and doesn't even realize it because, you know, there's a lot of things that people aren't aware about mental health disabilities. And, you know, because it's just people as they have, there's a lot of assumptions and stereotypes when people think about disabilities and service dogs and, you know, so there was the whole thing at my school where there actually was an email sent out about, you know, the proper etiquette in with a service dog. And because a lot of people don't understand that, you know.
You're not blind.
I'm not blind.
Right.
I actually have had that was asked to me at a coffee house one day. So you're not blind. Good observation.
Yeah.
You know, or you look fine.
Right.
You know, I've heard a lot of different things and I'm learning about lots of different hierarchies. You know, just being a person that's starting to accept and be in the world with a disability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing when I can keep it all to myself and, you know, it's kind of like a silent tornado. I'm keeping it all to myself, but I'm affecting everything around me. And, you know, and today, you know, having Susie, even because she's this cute little dog. Well, she's not little, but, you know, this animal. And so people pay attention to her, which puts me in a position to be able to help educate other people about PTSD mm-hmm. or, you know, invisible disabilities or, you know, a many other, you know, types of, mm-hmm. of tags that are put to it. But I get to talk to people about what it's like to navigate in the world. If they don't know certain etiquette, then I can help educate them about that mm-hmm. and not take offense because they don't know. If they don't know, then I have an opportunity
right.
to educate.
I was going to ask you, how receptive is, in your experience, as the general public to Susie, to you having a service dog, you know, going wherever you go?
You know, if I haven't had tons of situations, problems, other than I get a lot of, oh, so are you training her? Well, no, but
yeah.
I suppose it looks that way, you know. And I've had some situations, like I said, where I've gone into a coffee shop, and which the key word is I just went into a coffee shop. I think that's awesome for me.
Right.
And, you know, little accomplishments in the world. And, yeah. You know, or you're not blind, or but I've gone to the went to the mall. Another moment where I just kind of just sat down and cried about it because it was like I can't believe I'm in the mall, and I had a security guard kind of scoping me out, you know, kind of seeing why I was in there with a dog, and then he saw the service dog on her vest and was like, and then happily just kind of walked away. But I have lots of if you get interesting looks,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and again, like I said, I just look at it as an opportunity to talk to people and educate. And you know, I've had the opportunity, it's actually invited, you know, I met one of the guys that's a part of bringing back war dogs, and you know, what a exemplary, you know, have just how much animals and that human bond, you know, are helping veterans, you know, and you know, and creating this relationship that helps people maneuver in the world, regardless if it's a veteran or if it's, you know, someone who just, you know, has another type of, you know, traumatic experience that's affected their life, you know. But I just am a big benefit, I really just think it's important that people have guidance and training and with how to navigate, mm-hmm. you know, with a service dog.
Yeah, and I think that's, we've been talking today because you are a veteran about a mental health service dog for veterans, but that they are not just for veterans. It's anybody right. with a
sure.
mental impairment or disability. So when we come back, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Trina and Susie. Susie's here sleeping quietly on the floor. And we'll talk about some ideas Trina has for moving forward to try to provide funding for other veterans
mm-hmm.
For a mental health service dog, because it is not yet something that the VA is funding.
That still. Is correct.
So we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Baby, I'm here to stop your crying, chase all the ghosts from your head. I'm stronger than the monster beneath your bed. Smarter than the tricks played.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Let's play 10 questions. What is new at KKNW?
Real estate radio.
What's the show about?
Real estate?
Actually, Val, we focus on buying, selling, owning, and financing residential real estate.
That's right, at the ground level, where most of us live.
Who are you guys?
Well, I'm Rob Gray, a broker for John L. Scott in West Seattle.
And I'm Craig Goble with Cascade Pacific Mortgage.
We're both active real estate professionals, and we're in the trenches every day.
Don't miss Real Estate Radio at its new time, 2 o'clock every Thursday here on Alternative Talk 1150.
We all want to feel good, and when we look good, we just feel better. Hi, I'm Sean Denae, inviting you to join Dr. Dawn and myself on Radiant You Radio. We will explore the good, the bad, and the ugly about looking fine. We'll throw the spotlight onto procedures, treatments, and nutritional methods to help you become a more radiant you.
Don't miss Radiant You Radio every Friday at 2 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Listen live at 1150kknw.com. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Together, then we'll take them apart. Adding up the total of a love that's true. Multiply life by the power of two.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We are back with Trina McDonald and her mental health service dog, Susie.
Susie Dingleweed.
Hi, Sue. Susie's on the floor next to Trina, being a very good girl. So you have some great ideas for the future, Trina.
I do.
Around funding for other veterans and also continuing to do what you are doing, speaking and sharing your story. So tell us about your ideas.
My ideas. What this whole process kind of really brought up for me was that because there was such limited funding, and in my situation, no funding for mental health service dogs. And so
not just your situation.
No, it's for
but there actually is no funding.
Yeah, there's no funding for mental health service dogs.
There has
to
never
this
been
point. No.
A dog funded as a
there's
mental health service dog.
One. There was one, and it was a part of through the VRNE actually. At the Veterans Administration. VRNE is actually the Voc Rehab and Education. And there was one person, and there's lots of media about them, and I'm not going to, you can look up psychiatric service dogs, I think is what it was coined under at that mm-hmm. time. And but it was a combat vet and also someone who had been, military sexual trauma and has done, quite well. But she came in under a independent living program, which is no longer exist. Mm. And so they were able to fund, I think, at that point in time, I don't think I need a, it was less than $10,000 and less than $5,000. Or actually, I think it was around $6,000. Mm. And, which to me is crazy. But, it's... I don't want to get into the financial aspect
of it
because it's not important. But what I want to do is, based on that there is no funding and that there are lots of, loopholes about what can happen with service dog and what can't. So what I decided to do was, because I'm in the process of trying to get, my disability stuff increased through the VA and because my PTSD had gotten worse and just other parts with me physically and... was to take part of that money that I get back whenever they award me disability and create a scholarship fund for other veterans who are in my situation who aren't able to get funding so that in some way, shape, or form, I can help another veteran get a service dog to help them with their PTSD. And, I'm speaking out a lot about military sexual trauma, and and just the effects of PTSD and the benefits that I'm getting from having a mental health service dog and being able to navigate in the world and be a part of a world that a society really that I, you know, started this whole process to just be a part of, you know, and so, you know, working on creating some type of an organization that is strictly for fundraising. I don't want the financial gain of it. That's not why I'm even a part of it. I did it because it's obviously it's just in the it's not even it's being born. Mm-hmm. But I just want to help other veterans.
Yeah. So to raise funds, I'm mm-hmm. sure, you know, corporate sponsorships and stuff like that. I mean, there's so many ways to raise money for something like this, especially that it's I know for me personally, it's so moving, your story, so inspiring mm-hmm. what you're doing now. And I've seen, because Darcy is my partner and mm-hmm. I lived with Susie and witnessed the whole training process myself and the whole matching of the two of you, and that the whole thing was just, and I think you said that when you met Susie, it felt more like, or you, somebody said, or maybe I said it, that it seems more like a reunion mm-hmm. when you meet. And I've witnessed this in other people as well. It's like, it's the dogs. It's like in watching the dogs. The dogs are like, yep, that's the person mm-hmm. that is supposed to find me.
I was thinking about it actually earlier today, and, you know, how do you put that into words? And for me, it's like when Susie and I initially met, it was, you know, I felt like she'd finally found home, I'd found home. And, you know, it was just going to be, and that's really how it's played itself out.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Well, we've, like I said at the beginning of the show, we're videotaping the show, and I want to make sure that we get Susie in, so I'm just going to grab the camera from.
Oh, we can wake her up and.
This makes fantastic radio.
Isn't this great? This is
Susie
awesome.
Susie right there. Hi, Sue. Wave to the camera. So, I don't know where to put this back. There we go. I'm going to give Susie a little FaceTime.
A little FaceTime. It's important. Yep.
Well, it's been such a honor for me to be a part of this whole thing, because, like I said, I've witnessed most of the activities through in watching Darcy work with Susie. And right. Susie came to the show, actually, to learn how to ride on elevators and all that stuff, because Darcy's our call screener. And in meeting you and hearing you're really taking this whole thing in a really powerful way to contribute to others. And I've been just so impressed by you, and it's just been so wonderful to know you and to have you here today to share your story.
Thank you.
So this show will be available on iTunes, and it's a free audio podcast. So you can download the show from iTunes and share with your friends and family. All the past shows are archived on the website, which is www.dogtalkshow.com. If you click on the podcast page, you will see all of the past shows, over 80 of them now, I think.
Wow.
I'm going to be posting some pictures of Trina and Susie on the homepage as well. And then we'll also have this video up and running in probably a couple days on YouTube. So you can find that as well. And again, Darcy's website for her company, Healing Allies, is www.healingallies.com. And she trains service dogs for people with mental impairments, both veterans and non-veterans.
That's right.
And it's a great program. She also has other programs. Companion Dogs for Seniors is her newest program. Emotional Support Dogs, Clinical Therapy Dogs. So check that out, www.healingallies.com. HealingAllies.com. We also have a page on Facebook, Dog Talk Show. You can become a fan of our Facebook page. Healing Allies also has a Facebook page as well. Huh? And Trina will have I'm sure once this nonprofit fund is established, you just let me know what that website is and I'll announce it on the show.
I will.
All right. Well, like I said, Trina, it was an honor to have you here today. You and Susie, thank you so much for telling your story. So courageous. And you're giving a voice to people who have not yet found their own. So next week, we are interviewing John Katz, who's the author of Soul of a Dog. We interviewed him about that book last year, and we'll be talking with him about his new book, Rose in a Storm. A week from today, next Wednesday, we'll have him on the show to talk about his new book. So thanks so much for listening. Thanks again, Trina and Susie, for being here. And Joanne S., who won that Seahawks hat, if you would please email host@dogtalkshow.com, and we can get that hat out to you. It got returned at the address that we had. And then also we have free Dog Talk Show car stickers. If you would like one, just email me host@dogtalkshow.com and I'll get one out to you. Thanks so much for listening.